Well, good morning and welcome. I just want to, as Cindy said, welcome those of you who are with us for the first time. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, whether you're here with us for the first time or whether you're listening or watching online. And this morning, you've walked into the final week of a series that we've been walking through for the past several weeks called The Rich. And as you see the title, it's a little bit interesting, right? You're like, I don't really know what this is about. And it's been kind of a fun journey for us as we've begun looking at how God in our lives is working to change the way that we define or the way that we interact with this idea of what it means to be rich. And as we've walked through the last couple of weeks, we've been setting this goal, or we have this dream that we've set before us, this dream that I believe God has for us, that we could live a rich story. Not because we've been given a lot, not because we have a lot, but because we're able to use what He's given us, whatever it is, big or small, great or little, in such a way, we're able to manage it in such a way that we are able to give. And that we're able to impact the lives of the people that God's placed around us, the lives of the world around us. And it's been exciting for me to kind of hear what's happening and to hear the different conversations that are coming up inside of our dinner groups. And it's been really, really cool to hear how people are beginning to change the way that they look at God as it pertains to their finances. Because I think for so many of us, we think that, again, God's trying to hold out on us. He's trying to take something from us as opposed to this beautiful reality that God is constantly moving into our lives to help us to understand the fullness of what it means to live in every area, every aspect of our life. And so a couple weeks ago, we started off with this dream, and we're looking at the dream of living a rich story. And then last week we talked about how it's about more than just wanting it, and how for so many of us we want it, but then as we walk through our week or as we walk through our month or our year, we seem to be right in the same place that we were before. And so how do we become intentional about it? And how do we begin to put a plan in place? And hopefully as you walked out of last week, you began to put a plan in place, or maybe you revisited a plan, or maybe you searched for your old plan, but you, for the life of you, couldn't find it. But you know that you have a plan somewhere, you're still searching. Hopefully you've begun that process of the plan. And as we come together today, and as we kind of bring this thing to a close, what I want to do is I just want to take one more morning, and I want to say one more thing about this idea of the plan. And this idea of how we become intentional about living a rich story. Because there's something in the planning process, an opportunity in the planning process that I think we often miss. And I want to make sure that we don't miss it because it's unbelievably valuable. And I think we miss it because it's not natural to us. It's not something that we naturally see. And then there's also something that we misunderstand about God that I think causes us to miss it. And so for those of you who began to put a plan in place last week, or for those of you who maybe revisited your plan and maybe you have a really solid plan, but you decided you're going to go back and look over it and kind of look at, okay, is this a plan that's going to allow me to live a rich story? You probably went back and you looked at your income. And you looked at, okay, well, how much do I have coming in? And then you looked at your set expenses, and you looked at your housing, and then you cried for a little while. And then you came back, and you decided to keep going, and you looked at the rest of your fixed expenses, and then you looked at, okay, well, what do I want to do this year, and where do I want to be this year? And then in light of what we've been talking about, you said, well, wait a second, I don't want to just look at where I want to be, but then I want to live a rich story. So how can I give, and what does it look like to give? And then you began to put all these pieces together, and the puzzle began to come together. And you said, okay, this is good. I've got a good plan. And you looked at the end. My plan is good. And so you began to put that in place. For most of my life, this is exactly what I did. But then, I guess it was probably about 8 years ago. It was actually as I was in the middle of putting together a plan for Skyline, which is the church that I was a part of planting, before this, that God challenged me about something in the way that I plan. Because I would get to the end of the plan, and I'd look at all the pieces, and I'd put the puzzle together, and I'd get to the end, and I'd look at it, and I'd say, man, this is a good plan. But the thing that he began to challenge me with as I came to the end of my planning, whether it was my planning for my personal life or even as we were planning as a church, as far as, okay, what does this look like? As I came to the end of it, I remember one night we were sitting there and we were looking at our plan, and I was sitting there with some of the elders of that church and the leadership of that church, and we were looking at the plan, and we said, man, our plan is good. This is a good plan. And very, very, very gently, I just felt God saying to me, yeah, but it's your plan. He said, yeah, Chris, it's a good plan, but here's the problem. It's your plan. And I was like, yeah, of course it's my plan. Didn't you told me to plan? That's what I did. And you look at the passage that we talked about last week in Proverbs 24, it says, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. And what happens, and this actually happens in our lives a lot with God. God comes to us and he says to us, "Here's, listen, I want you to do this." And you know what we think? We think that God wants us to do something for him. But here's, I want to introduce this truth to you. Some of you may have heard me say this before. This is so, so, so very important. So very important. Listen to me, guys. Listen. When you hear God step into your life and say, I want you to do this, you need to understand this. God does not ask you to do things for him. God asks you to do things with him. God does not ask you to do things for him. God asks you to do things with him. I want you to say that with me, because I want to just build this in your mind. And I know I don't usually ask you for crowd response, right? But I want you to say this with me, right? Not for him, but with him. All right, ready? Count of three. One, two, three. Not for him, but with him. One more time. Not for him, but with him. And when it came to this idea of, okay, how am I going to plan my finances? How am I going to begin to put together a plan to live a rich story? What would happen is that I hear God talking about planning. I'd say, you know what? I need to do that. And so I would leave him and I'd go away and I'd look at all the pieces and I'd put it together and I'd put together a good plan. But he says to me, Chris, listen. I don't want you to just listen to your plan. Because I want you to begin to listen to my plan. I want to begin to teach you not just the importance of planning, but I want to begin to teach you about my plan. And for you to begin to experience me in that. In the book of Proverbs, the same book that we talked about last week where it talks about the importance of planning, it talks about our plans as opposed to God's plan. Let me just take you to a couple of them. Proverbs 16:1, it says this. It says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. He says, God says, listen, guys, you can make all the plans that you want, and they can look really, really good to you. He says, but the problem is it's your plan. And there are things that you don't know. He says, I'm the one who has the answer. Just a few verses later, in verse 9, it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. God doesn't want for us to walk out of this series and for us to become experts in planning our plan of how we're going to live a rich story. God wants to engage you in the process. God wants for you to experience him in the process. We don't naturally think this way. When we hear God say, listen, you need a plan, we think, okay, I got to do this for him. And we have this misunderstanding or this misconception of God that God is just trying to get us to do the right thing. Guys, we've got to get out of that mindset. We have to get out of that mindset. And remember what we talked about back at Christmas, that this whole thing is about the fact that God wants to be with us. And the same thing is true when it comes to this, when it comes to the plan and living a rich story. God wants to be with you. He wants to walk through the plan with you. He doesn't want you to just look at it and say, okay, you know what? I'm a steward of what God's given me. And so how do I do this? He wants to actually engage that with you, to come in and say, it's not just about where should I spend my money? It's about, okay, how does God want me to spend my money? It's not just about, okay, what should I save? It's about, okay, God, what do you want me to save? It's not just about, okay, what should I give or what can I give or what do I think I can give? It's about, okay, God, what do you want me to give? So that I can experience you in it. Growing up, my family was kind of an interesting situation, and I got to watch my family walk through some really interesting situations because of the fact that I was born when my dad was 17. So he wasn't real smart at that point in his life. But I was born when he was really young, and so I really traveled with him all the way through school and first jobs and all these different points in his life. And I remember there was a point in my parents' lives where they decided that they were going to become missionaries to Togo, West Africa. And I remember them sitting down and talking to us about this, and I was freaked out because the only thing I knew about Africa is there were snakes there, and I hate snakes. And I remember going back and forth with them about, are you sure this is what God wants for us? They're like, yeah, we're sure this is what God wants for us. And then we began the process of raising support. And raising support is basically just torture. It's just torture. You just travel every weekend. You're in a different church, and you're telling them your story and telling them about what you want to do and where you want to go. And as you're sharing this with them, then you're just hoping that in some way, shape, or form, they're going to respond. And then half of them respond with about as much money or a little bit less money than what it took for you to get there that Sunday. And it's just, it's an interesting time. And I remember going through that time, my parents were really, really honest with us about our finances because we just didn't have very much money. And I can remember being in situations where, I don't know if any of you are from the Midwest, you might know about this restaurant chain. Outside of that, you probably have never heard of it. There was this chain exists a long time ago called Hot and Now. Have any of you ever heard of Hot and Now? Right? Like just a couple Midwesterners over here that have heard of it. It was an amazing thing. You could get 39-cent cheeseburgers and I think like 29-cent hamburgers. They were made of who knows what, but they were phenomenal to eat and you could eat tons of them. And I remember as a kid, I loved it because that was really the only restaurant we could afford to go out to. Our whole family could eat for $5. And I remember one day having a conversation with my dad. And as we were going wherever we were going, I can't remember where exactly we were going, but it was lunchtime, and I said, hey, Dad, can we go to Hot and Now? And he said, no, we can't. And I began to throw a fit, and he said, Chris, you need to understand, right now we have 39 sons. That's it. And my parents were always really honest. They said, you don't need to be scared, because God's going to provide, but we can't. And in the years that followed that, as our situation changed with our family and as God provided, it was really interesting because in my conversations that I had with my dad would talk to me about his greatest experiences of God. And over again, he'd often point to those moments and those situations. And it wasn't about the fact that he had so little. It was about the fact that he was in this constant conversation with God about his finances. And I remember when I began to raise support to come on at Skyline, or when I began to raise support to start what was then Hoboken Grace, I remember him saying to me, you're going to experience some beautiful moments with God in this process. Because this is going to make you just unbelievably aware of how dependent you are on him. And how everything that you have comes from him. And because you're going to be constantly in that conversation with him, you're going to experience him in ways that you never thought possible. And he began to open my eyes to this beautiful opportunity to be able to experience God. Not just as I'm reading through his word, not just as I'm praying, but but to be able to experience him, not just when we're talking about church or when I'm talking about my friend who doesn't know Christ, but when I'm talking to him about what's happening in my life financially. And I remember him talking to me about those moments and then talking to me about how as you become more secure financially and as God gives you more, it becomes harder and harder to maintain perspective and harder to continue to engage him in that process. And what happens is that you begin to miss out on this unbelievably beautiful opportunity that you have to experience God. Because all of a sudden in this area of your life, in this area of your life that is very, very important to all of us, all of a sudden he begins to disappear. And the conversation becomes a conversation between me and myself as opposed to between me and him. God wants you to experience him in every area of your life. In every area of your life, including your finances. And so when we talk about this idea of planning, I don't want you to think, okay, I need to do something for God. I need to do something because God told me to. When we talk about this area of planning, I want to invite you into a journey with God where you come before him. And before you do anything else, not afterwards, usually the way that we include God in our plan is that we put our plan together and then we come to God and say, God, will you please bless this? God, can you just make this work? But rather than coming to him afterwards and asking him to execute our plan, I want to invite you to come to him first. To step in and to say, you know what's most valuable here? What's most valuable here is not the plan. What's most valuable here is you. And I get to experience you in this. And so, God, what's your plan? What do you think my plan should look like? How do you think I should spend my money? When it comes to what I should give, God, what do you want me to give? When it comes to what I should save, God, how much do you think I should save? What do you think my year should look like? And where do you think I should be next year when I come to this point? I love this verse. I love it. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. God just, he's not coming to you and saying, listen, I want you to do this for me, or I want you to do this because it's the right thing or the wise thing or because I told you to do it. He says, no, 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 come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I want to do this with you. And throughout the scriptures, he's constantly talking to us about this. And some of you are sitting here saying, well, how do I know? Like, how do I know as I'm in this conversation with him, what he's saying and what he isn't saying? And that's the beautiful thing. This is another reason why you need to be taking in God's word. If you're not a part of our reading plan with us right now, our yearly reading plan, we're just reading through the New Testament a year, please just sign up for it. It's one chapter a day during the week, Monday through Friday. It's a really easy reading plan. Some of you have kind of supplemented it, added to other things, but I want to invite you to be a part of this and begin reading through God's word. Why? Because God is constantly having this conversation with you throughout his word. And one of the ways that we learn how to be able to tell whether or not we're listening to God or whether or not we're listening to ourselves is as we're listening to him through his word, all of a sudden we get an idea of what his voice sounds like. All of a sudden we get an idea of what it is that's important to him. All of a sudden we get an idea of where his priorities lie. And so you look at this idea of where should I spend my money and how should I spend my money? And if you're in the conversation with God and you're asking him, okay, God, as I go into this year, how should I spend the money? And you hear him say, you know what I want you to do? I just want you to buy the most luxurious things that you can find. Then you, guess what you can know? It's the wrong voice. Because what do you hear throughout the scriptures? Again, going back to our memory verse throughout this series, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 18, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Actually, I'm jumped ahead, right? Let me jump back just one second. Matthew 6, 19, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. When you listen to what God says, he's saying, listen, don't store up all this stuff that you think is valuable here. He says, don't think that this stuff is valuable. Don't store up treasure here. When it comes to how you're going to spend this next year, and I know sometimes, and even inside of Christian circles, sometimes there's this idea that, you know what, you're going to give and you're going to save, and then you just get to do whatever you want with whatever is left. I don't think that that's true, because God wants to be more a part of your life than that. He wants to be engaged in all of it with you. And even in the part where he says, listen, I've just given you this to be able to live off of and for you to be able to enjoy and for you to be able to spend. I think even in that, he wants for you to come to him and say, God, what does that look like? And what are the things that I should spend on? And what are the things that I shouldn't? And over again throughout the scripture, he's saying, don't pay attention to the things that all these other people think are valuable. Because they're just going to pass away. It's a lie. When it comes to saving, he's talking to us about saving, and God talks about the importance of saving, but then also he talks about how saving can begin to become an idol in our lives. Let me take you to a passage in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus is telling a story. He says, then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And see, Jesus is telling the story. He says, listen, there's this guy, and God's blessed him, and he's got all this, but he has even more coming in. So he says, you know, what am I going to do? I don't have anywhere to put it. Well, I'll just tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns, and I'll be able to store more so that one day I'll be able to just finally stop working. I'll just be able to sit back and just take it easy and eat, drink, be merry. And so that's what he does. The story continues. It says, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. When it comes to saving, God talks about the importance of saving, but then he also talks about the danger of hoarding. And he wants to engage you in this conversation. And rather than you saying, okay, well, what do I think I should save? What I want to invite you into is this conversation with God where you go before God and say, God, what do you think I should save? I remember a couple years ago, my brother-in-law was struggling through this because he was surrounded by a lot of need, as all of us are. And he was looking at what he was putting into his 401k, and he was looking at how he was saving for his retirement, and he was looking at the need around him. And him and I began to engage in this conversation. He said, God, he said, Chris, what do you think the right thing to do is here? I'm going to have all this stored up while people can't eat. And I said to him, I said, listen, as you look through the scriptures, I think that God talks about saving and he also talks about giving. I said, this isn't about how you and I can come up with the right plan. This is about how you need to engage God and ask him, what's the right plan? What does he want you to do? As God comes to us, he's trying to engage us in this conversation and say, okay, what is it that, not just what do I think I should spend my money on, but what does he think? Not just how do I think I should save, but how does he think I should save? When it comes to giving, this idea of living a rich story, and I know for some of you weren't here with us a couple weeks ago, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the first week of this series. Listen to this idea of a rich story, because I'm going to use this terminology a lot with our family as we move forward. And I'll give you an example of what we're talking about this past week. And this is something for all of you to know. We have a missions trip that's going to Guatemala in just a short amount of time here. They're going to be going down. They're going to be building homes for these families that literally live in the middle of a dump. And they live in the middle of the dump, and the families go out and they sort through the trash in order to be able to find something to eat. And this is how they live. And there's an organization called Potter's House down there that goes out and builds homes for these families. And so we're going to go down there and we're going to build one of those homes, pay for one of those homes to be built. And this past week, we actually had someone come in and basically provide a full scholarship for the first person who signs up to go that can't afford it. Awesome. You know what you think when you hear that story? You think, man, that person must be wealthy. I actually don't know who the person is. But all of us think this, that person must be wealthy. They might not be. They just decided to live a rich story. That's what we're talking about. And as God steps into our lives and he's calling us to give and he's calling us to this idea, this dream of living a rich story. Again, it's not about, okay, what's my plan as far as I'm going to give, how I'm going to give. But it's, okay, God, what is your plan as far as what you want me to give? When you look at the New Testament, you see that giving is a little bit different for the New Testament church than it is for the Old Testament system. And when you get to the New Testament, you see that basically the law has shifted and that Jesus fulfills the law for us. And so therefore, we don't live under the law anymore. And in the Old Testament, the idea of giving, it was very rigid. There was very strict rules around it and what God wanted you to give and where God wanted you to give and how God wanted you to give. And so you see this idea of a tithe and people are tithing off of all these different pieces of what they have and everything that God gives them. As a matter of fact, Jesus, as he's having a conversation with the Pharisees, he talks about how they tithe even from their herb garden and how intricate they've made the tithing system and this idea of, okay, what's God's plan for me as far as giving? And it's very clear in the Old Testament that God's plan for the nation of Israel is that, okay, I give the first 10% of what I have back to God. When you get to the New Testament, it's interesting because it shifts and all of a sudden we're no longer under the law. So then what does that mean about giving? But it seems that the New Testament believers understood that when it came to giving, that there were certain things that God did talk about as far as our giving was concerned. The principles that they had learned from the Old Testament. When you look back at the Old Testament, Malachi 3:10, it talks about this idea of tithing and it talks about giving. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." And in Malachi, God's having this conversation with the nation of Israel, and he's talking to them about how they're hoarding. He's talking about them about how they're consuming. He says, "No, listen, I want you to live a rich story. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring those tithes that I was talking about. I want you to bring them to me. I want you to bring them into my temple. I want you to give them to my mission and what I'm doing here." He says, "When you do, I'm going to bless you." He says, "When you do, if you even just test me in this, when you do, I'm going to explode your lives with blessing." Now, again, when you get to the New Testament, we don't live under the law, but it seems that when you get to the New Testament believers were understanding and latching on to the principle that had come before. So when you look at the book of Acts, listen to what it says about the New Testament church in the book of Acts chapter 4. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. Exactly what we've been talking about, right? That it's all been given to us. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. In the New Testament, you find a group of people that don't live under the rules of the tithe, but for them, again, it wasn't about, okay, what's my plan? For them, it was, okay, what's God's plan? And so, God, what do you want for me to give? And how can I give to your mission? And so you see him selling homes, bringing not just how can I give 10%, but literally giving as much as they can. Not what's the minimum that I have to give, but what can I give?
And it's amazing what it says in this passage. It says there were no needy among them. Why? Because it wasn't about their plan for giving. It was God's. God, what do you want for me to give? It's interesting, sometimes I think for some of us who do believe in the tithe, we actually use the tithe to be able to get out of that conversation with God. As we were planning this series, there was an individual who was a part of the planning meeting, and he said, you know what, my wife and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about our giving, and we both made the comment that we're just really comfortable with what we're giving. And he said, immediately after we made that comment, we both looked at each other and said, we should probably have a conversation with God about our giving. What does God want for you to give? What does God want for you to save? How does God want for you to spend? God wants to be a part of this area of your life. Not so that he can take from you, but so that he can teach you, so that he can teach you what it means to live a rich story. So that he can help you put together a plan, not your plan, his plan, of what it means to live a rich story. And that plan may be very different from your plan. I remember several years ago, I sat down, a friend of mine had a financial advisor, so I sat down with this financial advisor, and we began to look over my finances here in Hoboken. We were just planting the church, so my finances were not good. And I remember him looking at my finances, and he was looking at specifically how we gave. And I remember he said something that stuck with me. He said, you know, you should really look at changing your finances so that you could invest in a home. And I remember thinking, you think I'm not investing in a home. I'm just investing in a different one. God wants for you to live a rich story. A rich story. He wants to be a part of this with you every step of the way. He wants for you to understand how rich your dad is. He wants for you to understand how he wants to provide for you and how he will provide for you. But in order for us to experience that, we have to stop executing our plan. And we have to start asking, what's your plan? What's your plan? And then we do what Jesus called us to do. We follow. We follow. And you see if he doesn't lead you into a rich story. A story that's richer than any you could have told. Will you pray with me? Father, my prayer today for all of us is that as we're looking at the decisions that we're making financially, as we're engaging these questions of giving and saving and spending, Father, I pray that rather than doing something for you, that we would begin to embrace doing something with you. that we begin to look at, okay, how do you want me to honor you with my giving to your mission? How do you want me to honor you in this area of my life? I pray that we would, as we look at our savings, that we would not just ask what we think is wise, but that we would come to you and engage you in this question of, okay, God, what does it mean to save, and what does it mean to hoard? What does it mean to live a rich story as it pertains to my savings? When it comes to what I consume, God, what is it that you would have me spend my money on? And what is it that I need to walk away from? Father, I pray that your dream for us, that we could become the Good Samaritan, that we could begin to live a rich story. I pray that would become a driving force in our relationship with you. That we would engage you in this conversation, not just once a year, but that we would engage you in this conversation consistently as we look at how we would spend what you've given us. I thank you that you take care of us. In Jesus' name.